Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And we are constantly talking about reintegrating the family in the 21st century. In a day where 42% of kids are born outside of wedlock, half of marriages end in divorce, the family is basically irrelevant, and we constantly disintegrate the family through education, through economics, through universities, through, you name it, culture, television, everybody gets their own iPod. And we're just unplugging from relationship, and we're saying, hey, we're plugging back in, baby. We think that the family is important, and we think that Deuteronomy 6:7 was important when God said you're supposed to be teaching your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. It's an integrated experience, and the assumption is that fathers are doing the work throughout the day, and there are relationships being built, and there are opportunities to work together, and there are opportunities to instruct and disciple along the way. And the modern world has made that very difficult to happen. The modern traditions of the Industrial Revolution and the educational forms, et cetera, have displaced the principles of God's Word in Deuteronomy 6:7. We think actually families are relevant. We think fathers are really cool. And without fathers, we've experimented without fathers. We said, well, what would it be like if we took fathers out of the home for seven generations and see how things go over the next seven to eight generations? Turns out, didn't work out very well. It's kind of a lousy experiment. And so we're thinking fatherhood's a great idea, and maybe we should reestablish family economies. And Dave, this thing is taken off. I can't be more encouraged. I cannot be more encouraged coming out of the Family Economics Conference 2013 in St. Louis, Missouri. Thousands of people gathered together. The messages were powerful, and people are doing it. And there were so many panels and so many opportunities to find out where families are engaging the modern economy in a decentralized form. And Dave, the technology that took dad out of the home can bring dad back into the home. It's just a matter of will. It's just a matter of priority. It's just a matter of us setting the direction. And yes, we may not accomplish this in 5 years or 10 years. It may take a generation or two to really get a hold of this thing and ride this thing to where we want to be. But hey, there are people recovering this vision, and it is happening all over the United States. And we're going to do seven conferences next year, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. And Dave, here is the most famous family economy in America today. And I want to talk about this because these guys just showed up in Castle Rock.
The Rothschilds.
No, no, no.
The Rockefellers.
No, no, no. It turns out.
Kennedys.
Turns out this family showed up. No, 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 not quite. They're not quite as clean shaven as any of them.
Oh, so this would be the Bushes.
No, no, that's not no, this is far, far less clean-shaven than the Bushes. This is a family economy that is probably the most famous in America today, and one of the guys showed up at Castle Rock, I mean, just down the street from us. I can't believe I missed it. I want, you know, it'd be nice to run into these guys. The Duck Dynasty. This is the Duck Dynasty. The Duck Dynasty, Dave. I mean, you talk about a family economy, they are busting out. You know how they got started, Dave? The Duck Dynasty got started by selling something like 187,000 duck calls. I mean, just a duck call. You know, they just designed this little thing that...
So it's like a phone for ducks?
No, 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 no. It's a little duck call for duck hunters. Where, something like that, yeah. Something like that. That's pretty cool. Maybe you could sell that, except you're doing it with your hands.
Yeah.
But anyway, they sold a bunch of these things, and now they got the reality TV thing going. It's hot stuff. Phil Robertson is the patriarch of the family, most famous duck caller in America, and they're Christians. I mean, they go to Christian schools and try to raise money for them. And that's what they're doing in Castle Rock, evidently. That kind of makes the liberals mad, but they're making, you know, they're raising the money. He says they were out in Castle Rock to raise money for the Rock Christian Academy, a private elementary school. It's a Christian school. We're saying exactly what the founding father said. We ought to be as a people, so that's our message. Apparently, Phil Robertson was there at the Rock Christian Academy. They were hoping to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the event. I have no idea how much they raised, but anyway, Duck Dynasty. This article here in Time Magazine came out just last week, Dave. Beards of Paradise, How a Tight-Knit Family of Godly Duck Hunters Shot to Reality TV Fame. And, Dave, I mean, they call them godly, and because they call themselves godly. They said, we're godly. We understand television's not godly, but we're godly. They're kind of simple folk. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, talking about predestination and heavy-duty doctrinal stuff or anything like that. There seemed to be a fairly straightforward family out in Louisiana somewhere.
I don't know what they're talking about. I don't get TV. I mean, I don't watch TV. But what I've read about, they're talking about very practical matters.
They are.
They're talking about very, very practical matters. You know, this Phil Robertson, he's quite a man.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback at Louisiana.
Yeah.
And you know who backed him up? There's a guy on the bench. It's a little
Joe
one
Montana
thing.
Or?
No, it was... It was Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw, okay.
Terry Bradshaw
so
was
Bradshaw
his
was a backup to this guy.
To this guy.
Okay.
And then, at
and then he backed away because he wanted to build a family economy. He went back home to build a family economy.
The Lord got a hold of him.
Uh-huh.
He was in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle big time. And then there was a conversion of his heart. You know, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he puts that away, and he decides to follow the Lord, and the Lord blesses him with this duck call ministry and a family ministry. And the guy's very big on family.
He preaches sometimes at the Baptist church down the road. The article here in Time Magazine calls the fun-loving clan of a born-again duck call manufacturers. The Robertsons are the latest multi-generational family to transfix American TV viewers like the Kardashians, only with Bibles, bullets, and bushy, bushy beards.
Bushy, bushy beards, yeah. That's kind of their trademark. They look like ZZ Top a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. You got to appreciate the beards, though. They're bringing the beard back.
Also looks like a friend of ours that builds houses.
Exactly.
Quite a bit. Here's some advice. I mean, when I say practical, here's some advice. This is the flavor of these guys.
Is this from Robertson?
This is from Robertson. This is him speaking. And this is the kind of stuff that I'd like to tell guys in our Shepherd Center. Don't marry some yuppie girl. Find you a meek, gentle, kind-spirited country girl. If she knows how to cook and carries a Bible and lives by it, and she loves to eat bullfrogs, now there's a woman.
I got to get that with my son. Because, who wants to marry some yuppie woman, you know, who's going to have 0.6 kids and 17 abortions? I mean, come on. And make $72,000 a year and die euthanized.
I don't
by
even
Barack
know what
Obama.
Bullfrogs taste like. I live in Colorado. You know, the bullfrogs don't live here, but. But, you know, his advice is sound. Yes. Find yourself. Don't go find a yuppie girl.
Find a meek and quiet girl who likes to eat bullfrogs. Okay? That's the kind of wisdom we're talking about here, friends. I mean, this is the family economy down in the South that is still apparently doing quite well. Thank you very much. Hey, there's these little islands. And you ever get that idea that in the midst of all of the destruction, all the bad news we talk about, you know, where the macro is doing all this crazy stuff, driving everybody into homosexuality and debt. You know, here these guys are just, you know, having a good old time.
They're having a good old time.
They are. I mean, they run their pickup trucks through the mud. They shoot alligators. And they, I mean, man.
We're talking redneck paradise.
Oh, big time. Big time. Did you see some of the promos? You know, the guy was shooting into the alligator or the snake or whatever it was. And his dad said, I think 17 shots is enough, son. There was about four more shots after that. They were having a good time, you know.
And this is some more of his homely advice. Now, this is a little bit more controversial to some in our audience, but understand that this man is fairly well-rooted as he says this.
Mm-hmm.
William Penn, he says, would roll over in his grave if he could see these Pennsylvania girls, what they've turned into. See, these Quaker girls, way back 200 years ago, they picked up these boys' ducks. I guarantee you William Penn had a duck-picking woman with him. But these days, I said, do you pick girls' ducks up here? And they said, no, we pick pockets up here. Hard to find a duck-picking woman in Pennsylvania anymore. You boys let it get away from you. She goes on to say, the main problem is they're waiting until they get to be 20 years old before they marry them. In Louisiana, we start checking around 15, 16. Check with mom before you pull a move like that. Good advice, by the way.
Right.
16-year-olds, they'll pick your ducks. 20-year-olds, they'll pick your pockets. Now, there's a lot of truth in that homie wisdom.
20 years old. No. It's 30, 34, 35 before anybody's getting married up there. And if they're getting married, they're probably getting married to the same sex. So, yeah, I think he's a little behind the times. But apparently down there, there's still a little common sense somewhere in backwoods Louisiana. And they get their own reality show. He told Time Magazine, this is the quote, Dave, we're basically godly. You know, don't you love that? We're basically godly. I didn't think that would work on TV. Bill talks about Jesus, whether he's in church, in a casino, or a gun expo. He says, to the producers, my faith is amusing. I'm enough of a realist to know it's not going to make it on the show. So, you know, he knows it's going to be clipped. But he talks about the Lord all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just does, you know. And they just have to clip. They just have to know how to clip. You know, there's just a lot of clipping on TV because you don't want any God on television. The pagans from the humanist temples aren't going to allow any little bit of this religion, this God created heaven and earth, and I trust the true and living God kind of stuff. They're not going to let that seep into their humanist temples when they, you know, take some of this stuff and put it on the TV channels.
Aside from a cultural phenomenon, you know, when I look at the advice that he's giving to young men in marriage, he's really casting a different vision for marriage. Notice what he said. He didn't say find yourself an attractive woman. He didn't say find yourself a playful woman. He's talking about a woman as a helpmate to a husband who will stand by her man, and not a woman who will drain his wallet, but a woman who will help the family economy, contributor to the economy who's going to stick with the guy. And that's why he said, you know, get them while they're young, before they develop independence.
And Dave, Phil Robertson probably would never come onto this radio station. By the way, if anybody down in Louisiana, anywhere down there, knows Phil, let him know that I'd like to interview him on our radio program. And I know he probably speaks to the millions and millions, but if he would ever like to speak to a crowd that would actually listen and do some of the stuff that he talks about, he probably ought to come on this radio show and share a little bit of a vision with our radio audience. All right, my friends, Phil Robertson and Duck Dynasty doing pretty good. Oh, by the way, Dave, he's pro-gun. Big surprise.
I'm shocked. He's shocked, I tell you.
He's pro-gun. Whoa. The Duck Dynasty's pro-gun. Here's what he says. He says, you know, limit weapons, you limit basic freedoms. And he says, it's the hearts of human beings that are the problem, not the guns.
Not good.
It sounds to me like he's got a pretty good anthropology going there, too. You know, it's not the guns. Not the guns that kill people. People kill people. It's the heart of men. He's got to deal with the hearts of men. That's the real issue. That's pretty good.
Well, I'd love to see him invited and speak at a family economics conference.
Sure. We'd love to have Phil Robertson at the family economics conference. Beard and all.
Well, especially the beard.
Yeah, bring the beard. Okay. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host with you. And Dave, I love family economies. I mean, you've got to appreciate the fact that these guys got started with duck calls. I'm sure it was marketed through the internet. And these niche economies taking off, Dave, taking off. I was in Idaho a couple of weeks ago doing a conference down there in Boise, and some family comes down from the hinterlands, I mean, way out there. Sort of like, you know, the other family down in Louisiana. But this family, Dave, he was a mortician, quit his job because his wife's online business took off. Guess what they were selling, Dave?
What?
They were selling 1930s sewing machine parts. You know those old metal, hardcore cast iron?
Like the ones that you had to pump with your foot?
Yeah. Apparently there's a huge market there. And these guys are raking in the bucks. They had to go down to Walmart, pick up more rakes, because this niche economy. Imagine, Dave, in 20, 30 years ago, imagine trying to do a niche economy like that. Like duck calls.
Maybe somebody could have a niche economy selling rakes.
It would be really hard to do a niche economy with duck calls in 1980 without the internet. It would be very hard to sell 1930s sewing machine parts from Nowhereville, Idaho. These guys live off the grid, by the way. These guys in Idaho. I mean, you know, that's like a third of Idaho, I think. But they're living off the grid. Imagine 1980, opening up a little shop in a little village down the street. 1930 sewing machine parts, you would sell like one part every 140 years. But with the internet, the niche economy is taking off. It's amazing what's going on in niche economies, and we're going to get more of those stories as the years go by. Friends, here's the other thing. If any of you, I mean, not just Phil Robertson, any of you, if you got a duck dynasty, if you got an elephant dynasty, if you got a beagle dynasty, if you got any kind of a dynasty at all, maybe you got a little beagle call that's really taken off. If you got some kind of a family economy, it's very unique, and you'd like to share your story. God has blessed you, and you just want to let everybody know. You let us know. If you've got a family farm that's finally taken off, is the family farm viable in the 21st century? I've asked that question many times, and I've got some answers. People have come forward and said, actually, it works if you do it like this or like this. The family economy is viable. It's just a matter of getting the stories out there. Be sure to let us know. Be sure to call in. Be sure that you email me at host@kevinswanson.com. If you know of somebody who's got a family economy that is as healthy as can be, or just getting off the ground and God is blessing along the way.
Yeah, Kevin, there's still opportunities for you to bless other people. And that's what you have to think of your economic exchange. Commerce is about two people blessing each other in this exchange. Both people are richer for the purchase or for the exchange of goods, services, and cash. And if we don't get that right in our mind, if we think somebody's ripping somebody off or somebody's always being exploited or Christians are too holy to be concerned with the exchange of monetary goods and services, we blow the whole thing. When we do an exchange, when somebody comes and buys your new book, Apostate, and they buy it at the full cover price, whatever it is, what, like $150 this week or something?
$27. Yeah, but on sale it's like $21.
Okay, so let's say they spend $27 for the book Apostate. Now they get the book Apostate. It was worth $27 to them. They end up with the book, and it's got a nice, pretty cover. It sits on the shelf. They might actually read it. They're better for having that book. They get the information. They get to hand it to their children. They get to pass it around church. And the ministry is benefited by it, the $27 that come in, as it helps contribute to the next work, getting this radio program out and telling more people about the vision for God's kingdom. Now, who lost in that transaction?
Yeah, nobody loses at all. Both are advantages.
The answer is the apostates lost.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
but everybody who participates in the exchange is enriched by the exchange.
Yes. And I am so impressed when a family may be making $26,000 a year in a family economy, and the family is working together, and they're finding ways to disciple. And yes, okay, it may not be $147,000 per year, but they're doing something. And they got a vision, and they're bringing that vision to pass in the 21st century. That's always impressive to me. Okay.
Kevin, let me connect the dots, and let me finish that thought. If it's true that people are enriched in the exchange, stop looking for riches when you think about your
That's
family
right.
business.
That's
think
right.
about how you can enrich others.
Think about how you're enriching others, and think about how you're enriching your own family, not just by monetary reward. And I think that's the problem, Dave. Everybody equates success to monetary reward, and that's a fundamental flaw.
The money follows. It's the trailer.
Right.
What is the purpose? The purpose is to bless your fellow man. If you can come up with something that will be a blessing to them, the money follows like the trailer follows the vehicle that's pulling it. Don't go after the trailer. Go after the blessing.
All right, my friends. I know this doesn't connect directly, but I think it does have some connection. Listen to this, friends. A couple articles that have come across my desk in the last week or two. Here's one from WorldNet Daily. America snapping by the millions. This one from CBS Atlanta. 1 in 5 U.S. children may have mental disorder. That according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And here's fully 1/3 of the nation's employees suffer chronic debilitating stress. More than half of all millennials experience a level of stress that keeps them awake at night, including large numbers diagnosed with depression or anxiety disorder. And Dave, these stories have come across our desk many, many, many times. Incredibly, 11% of all Americans aged 12 and older are currently taking SSRI antidepressants. It's 11%. Add to that tens of millions of users of all other types of psychiatric drugs, including the 6.4 million American children between 4 and 17 diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed Ritalin or several similar psychostimulants. Throw in the 28% of Americans adults with a drinking problem. That's more than 60 million, plus 22 million using illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and hallucinogens. And pretty soon a picture emerges of a nation of drug takers with hundreds of millions dependent on one toxic substance or another, legal or illegal, to help them deal with the stresses and problems of life. Okay, that's, I don't know, when you get to 60 million, 70 million, 80 million, you're up to at least 80 million. I think he's calculated 80 to 100 million Americans are addicted to drugs or they're on antidepressants or. And 1 in 5 U.S. children have mental disorders. And Dave, as we talk about this, you know, Americans have abandoned God's principles for life. They've abandoned the family. The breakdown of the family is going to yield all kinds of side effects like this. Dave, we are an unhappy nation. Think about it. I mean,
we're unhappy.
When it really comes down to it, we're a nation that doesn't believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. We're depressed about life. We're not getting out of life what we want to get out of life. We're living the me generation. And by the way, didn't we read that the millennial generation was the most narcissistic, self-centered, selfish, and lazy generation ever produced in the history of America? And apparently 50% of them are suffering extreme levels of stress, more than half of all millennials. So they're stressed out, and they're all about them. Dave, again, we're getting back to this self-centered thing. If it's all about myself, it's all about a life of convenience, if it's all about me sitting there and having somebody else peel grapes for me, if it's all about me, if this is the me generation, Dave, it is the most unhappy generation and the most depressed generation that has ever lived. And I don't think there's a whole lot these humanist psychologists are going to do by just continually prescribing the antidepressants.
Well, they can't.
It's not going to work.
They can't. They've defined the problem wrong. They've reframed the problem. They're talking about mental disorders. Those aren't mental disorders. At best, those are psychiatric disorders. A mental disorder is not being able to add and subtract. A psychiatric disorder is a problem with the spirit. Psych means spirit. What we have is a nation with a spiritual problem. It turns out their numbers are way low. 5 out of 5 children have a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
It's a sin nature. Now, it's exasperated by this fact. We are putting creatures in captivity behind bars. You know, in all of his, in the animal kingdom, the animals have to fend and forage food for their very existence. They have to work for it virtually every single day of their existence, except for one kind of animal. The one kind of animal that does not have to work, doesn't have the stress of work, is the one who is captive. The one who's in the zoo is the one kind of animal that doesn't have to work. And we have a nation of captive animals. Animals.
And Dave, not animals, but as it turns out, human beings. And as they're captive and there's not working, they're most stressed out because they're not working. And Dave, I think the fact that they're not engaged in proper dominion work, a lot of times it's just the cubicle work or it's where it's very, very frustrating and they're not really accomplishing any true dominion.
Right.
And the family economy hardly exists and they're not really understanding and living out the biblical concepts of economy or oikonomia, as we talk about in this program, of course they're going to be depressed. Of course they're going to be suicidal. Of course the suicide rates are higher today than they were 10 years ago. Dave, here's the other factoid that you need to know. Of course 1 in 5 U.S. children have mental disorders. Of course, you know, 25-35% of them are on some kind of antidepressant or some kind of a psychiatric drug of some sort. But 70% of American young children 10 to 15 years of age were working on farms in 1930. 70% were working on farms in 1930. It's down to 0.5% now. And that, of course, might be exaggerated because a lot of these farm families, that's just, you know, how many children live in farm families. There's only about 0.5% of them live in farm families. Most of them have to go to school anyway because school is far, far, far more important than work according to our system of thinking. Not so with Scripture. Not so with Scripture, but that's the way that the pagans think of education. Friends, we got to get back to a family economy. This idea that 70% or 80% or 90% or 95% or 99.5% of children in America are not working at 10 or 12 or 14 years of age is ridiculous. And yeah, I know about the child labor laws, and I know that people don't like the fact that David Livingstone was working 14-hour days, 6 days a week when he was 10 years old, until he was 20 years old. By that time, he had his medical degree, and he was off to the mission field. But people don't like the fact that he was working 80-hour weeks at 10 years of age back in the 1830s and 1840s. People hate that fact. They say, well, it would be far, far, far better if you sat in front of a bunch of boring books for 4 or 5 hours a day and then let him play video games for the next 9 to 10 hours and let him do that for 18 years out of his life and see what happens when he's in his 20s. And his 30s and his 40s, where he's sitting around still playing games while Rome burns. Okay, so that's a better vision than whatever was going on in the 19th century? I don't think so. No, what we need is not necessarily young people working for the man, working for the corporation. Of course, we're not really all that much in favor of capitalism as a corporate system of capitalism. We're interested in free enterprise-based family economies, where the economy is distributed and the family is working the economy and they work together as a team. Friends, this is what will salvage our youth, our young men, and this I think will be what it will take to be sure that our children don't fall into the depths of depression as they sit around entertaining themselves to death and becoming as narcissistic and self-centered as you could ever imagine, or bored out of their minds as they're playing their dumb computer games that don't accomplish anything whatsoever. Hey, that's just not dominion. Think about it. Computer games aren't dominion.
It's not dominion. And what's happening is we're absolutely frustrating the call, especially of young men, to take dominion. The schools are basically cage training. We're cage training these kids so that one day they'll become happy in their corporate cage. Remember, we just had a national referendum in which more than half of the nation voted for a little nicer cage. They said, no, we don't want dominion. We love an EPA that punishes dominion. We love tax rates that punish dominion. Just, you know, you put an iPhone in my cage so that I can play little games in my cage, and I won't accomplish anything. As long as the food keeps coming through those cage bars from the zookeeper, I'm happy. That's what the nation voted for. We have a different vision, Kevin. We're talking about taking our children and showing them how to work by letting them Work.
If there was ever a time that we needed to develop family economies, according to Mary Eberstadt, every single childhood psychosis, neurosis, every indice is way, way, way up. Children are more heavy set. Children are more psychotic, neurotic. They've got ADD. They got this. They got that. Every single one of these indices is way up, according to Mary Eberstadt, wrote the book Home Alone America. And friends, I mean, you want to ruin your families, you want to ruin your kids, then don't get the vision. Don't develop family economies. Just continue doing whatever the world's been doing educationally and entertainment-wise for the last 50 years and see how it turns out in another generation and another generation. I've got a better idea. Why don't you go to FamilyEconomics.com and check out our Family Economics Vision. And by the way, we've got the new products for sale at our website, Dave, for the last Family Economics Conference. And I think that's the very, very best materials. 4 days, the best speakers I think we had, the best encapsulation right. of the vision I've ever seen before. And the speakers were all dovetailing, and the messages were more practical, and the panels were out of this world in terms of the kinds of usefulness and encouragement and vision and inspiration that that we could pull together in one conference. I think this was the very best we've ever done. So that product available at kevinswanson.com or familyeconomics.com or just go to generationsradio.com.
And Kevin, I encourage people to think of this as the keys to the cage. You can open up the door to the cage. You can get out. Now, the trick is to teach people who have never had that kind of freedom, who've never had the opportunity to really work for their livelihood, to teach those domesticated creatures how to work again. And the training that they can receive is a start in how to become dominion men and women, develop family economies, and get out of the zoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time is now. And, hey, we've got some great products out there. You want your own dynasty? Maybe it won't be a duck dynasty. Maybe it'll be a 1930s sewing machine parts dynasty. Maybe it will be some little niche dynasty of your own. But friends, it doesn't have to be a $2.7 million dynasty. It can be a $27,000 dynasty. It's that what matters is we're getting back to the principles of God's Word, especially in terms of the discipleship and mentorship of our young men and our young women as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down. Friends, again, all of this stuff, all of our products available at our website, generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com. And also, if you'd like to support our radio program, we're on a membership drive. We would like to pull together 100 helpful, faithful folks that will just stand with us and say, yeah, we would like this vision out to hundreds of thousands of people across America and around the world. We would sure like to break out of the cages we have found ourselves in, bring a biblical vision to bear, and rebuild relationships, and of course, God's truth in a lost and lonely world. If you love this vision, you want to get behind it, and you want to be one of the 100 sponsors, and you have an extra $10 a month, or $20 a month, or $100 a month you'd like to toss at the cause, just go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Donate Today. That's kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.